E2, number 19B.
Daniel is always depicted as the man of understanding, so to say, right through go various ways of bringing that out, that he is a man in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, that the light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Can you see? He's characterized as the man of science, as a real scientist. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing a hard sentences, of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. You see, in one verse, how he is depicted in 3, 4, 5 ways that he was a man of understanding, a man that could interpret. And if you look up the Bible Concordance and you look down, what does the Bible say about interpretation, then you will see that about 80 or 90% of all the references on interpretation are in Daniel. He was the interpreter. An interpretation, you know, has to do with science. The science interprets, and therefore it needs understanding. Exactly, really, that point of Daniel, of science as science, where we can interpret the divine principle and its operation. He is skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. And in understanding science, it's said. I don't think that they use very often, actually I haven't it in mind, but I don't think that they use science in the Old Testament. Perhaps this is maybe the only place they use it. I'm not quite aware of it just now. It just comes to me that he really is building, so to say, the bridge, you know, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He shall know the truth. Huh? And where even the some version in of the New Testament bring up that sciences and health in some of the translation. And he seems to be that one who was just bringing thought of the prophetic age to that point where it was ready to accept the message as a science. He was 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers. See, the magician and astrologer were also the scientists of their time, the interpreters of their time. And so he was 10 times better, showing that his science surpassed the scientific knowledge of the wise men of his time. And so he could really read mentally, through the divine mind. He was a divine mind reader, interpreting dreams, interpreting the writings on the wall, interpreting what's going on. He was really the scientist. Yes. And then at the end he shows therewith that being as the Ancient of Days, that he could show how really the divine calculus, that stone that has been taken out of the rock and has fallen on the feet of that figure of clay and was destroying the mortal calculus, he then shows really the Christ nature of our matrix, that what he wants to show really that the Christ would take that calculus of mortality and really translate it into an understanding of the true calculus of immortality, the Ancient of Days, immortality. This is the vertical on science. Let's just run through it again vertically to see how everyone just makes a little step further, except for Daniel. They all had to do with the temple. And thank God Daniel was not in Israel. He was in the foreign countries under Nebuchadnezzar. He had no temple. And so he could really worship the true temple, namely the temple of understanding. Let's go out from Christ as the matrix, showing that there is a power at work constantly to do what? The science vertical, to show the operation of the idea in its principle. So that the Christ power at work makes one see that the idea must be brought back into its principle, must be geared to its principle, must operate as a calculus in its principle. And in order to do that, we have these four steps, namely Haggai just first defining the purpose of that principle and of serving in that principle. Says, go and build up in your understanding the fundamentals of that principle. Lay stone upon stone. Learn the numerals of infinity. Apparently he had the same trouble as we have today, that the people don't like to learn the synonymous term and their ideas. To really go from one idea to the next ideas, from the ideas of mind, and think about them and lay upon the ideas of mind, the ideas of spirit, and see how the ideas of mind lead to the ideas of spirit, and how the ideas of spirit could not be understood without first having the foundation of the ideas of mind, then go on to soul and say, see how these ideas of soul come after the ideas of spirit. Without mind and spirit, you could not have soul and not understand soul. And then to see that these ideas of mind, spirit, and soul form your basis, your fundamental principle on which to stand, and how these ideas then would bring forth life. It shows that wonderfully when it comes to the tone of life, that would then actually built the new temple, and that they were very alive building that new temple, and that he would come to truth, to showing that the temple would be more beautiful than before, had a more beautiful form than before, and finally see the fulfillment in love. So he was telling us today and say, build your temple, build your consciousness, but build it step on step in an ordered way through the word order. And he presents it through the word order. When we have acquainted our thought with the numerals of infinity, then Zechariah comes and says, but you know, these numerals of infinity operate in a calculus. And so he gives the seven synonymous term in four orders. In the word order, the Christ order, the Christianity order, and the science order. And shows that the Christ will not rest. Still the Christ. That the Christ will not rest until he enforces in each one of us to accept the divine infinite calculus. You know, you may think these are theoretical things and or they are things of the past. For me, who has a chance to look back over, 50, 60 years at least of conscious Christian Science, or let's say to look back on at least nearly 40 years or 35 years of science, of Christian Science, I can see the tragedy of that thing. I know it. I have seen how only a few percentage of the students who have taken up the study of the science of Christian Science have succeeded and the other failed, because they did not want to be a Zechariah. They did not even want to be a Haggai. They did not want to build stone upon stone. They refused over years and years to learn the synonymous terms and their ideas. They just refused it. It's not interesting enough. They like to have the temple, even if that temple doesn't stand on solid ground, and to like to be in that temple and look at all the nice facets in the temple and at the gold of the temple and the nice figures in that temple, though their temple is built on sand. And then I have to see that how people either just failed utterly, or as that they would say after 10 years, I see, I have to start right from scratch. I have to start where I have to start, namely by building stone upon stone and get acquainted clearer and clearer with the seven synonymous terms. And I can't sidestep that. So these prophecies are not prophecies of the past where we have to figure out, what was the temple? How did the temple look like? And what did they build? This is our consciousness which we build. Do we build a structural consciousness or not? It's much more attractive to read books and books and books and books about the science of Christian Science, etc. But it doesn't amount to anything if one can't read it with a structural sense. One cannot even perceive if these books are absolutely wrong. What's the use of reading books with an unstructured sense? And that's what Zechariah saw. You see? He saw it. And he could see, you see, Zechariah could see something. He could see with his seven lights, with that lamp, with those seven lights and the seven pipes, he could see that if we build on the numerals of infinity, on Haggai, that candlestick will be nourished or fed by an olive tree. That the oil that he was there was combined with an olive tree, and the oil of inspiration was just directly feeding that candlestick. You know what he saw? He saw the very same thing which I teach all over the place, and so few of my students accept it, that I say, don't try, on heaven's sake, be original. Don't try, for heaven's sake, not to think that you should now contribute something new which the others haven't seen. Don't try to do that. John Dolly was hard on that. He said, don't try to be original. Don't try to be original. What you should do is to culture your seven. And culture your four. Culture that which is already known as being the basis. And then, that has within itself the oil of inspiration. That within itself begins to be creative. That within has within itself the Christ power to bring forth a new idea. But then it is based on that system. Can you see, it's a completely different attitude than, say, when we learn any other subject. When you learn another subject, we take a textbook and then we heap, what you call it, stone upon stone, we heap up new knowledge, add. Whereas in the science of being, and that's what Zechariah saw, in the science of being, it's other way around. You have that humility of going back to the fundamentals, to stand every day anew in awe before the numerals of infinity, before the 7 days of creation, then seeing them as numerals of infinity, then seeing the bigness of the seven synonymous terms, culturing them, loving them, caring for them, expecting everything from them, anticipating really the promise of what will come out of that study, and that is the inward attitude which is able to bring forth from one's own loins, from one's own understanding of the system, brings forth a higher concept, a higher vision. Science reveals, not God reveals. Science reveals. And Zechariah showed that very thing. He could see that the candlestick need not to be fed by oil that people gave to that candlestick, that poured into the candlestick. He could see that the olive tree was directly feeding in the oil into the candlestick. Is that the right expression, feeding in? Yes. You know what I mean. Huh? See, it's all within. Once one has the system of being, then nothing happens anymore from outside. Everything grows from within the system. That's his teaching for today. And then Malachi comes along and says, all right, but give your whole heart to it. Don't be mean in studying the system of Christian Science. Give your best. Give your absolute best. Give your love. Give your admiration. Give your all. Give your warmth to it. Give your energy to it. Put it first. Put first things first. Know what is first. And in this way you serve that principle, and then prove me, says the Lord, if I will not pour out all the blessing. And if we begin to see that, then we have touched Malachi, and Daniel comes along and says, you know, can you see now that everything is just a matter of understanding? It's a matter of interpretation. It's a matter of understanding. It's a matter of divine mind reading. He could see that the divine mind is wiser than the wise men of Babylon, than the magicians and the astrologers and all these people. He was always resting on the divine mind. Whenever the other minds failed, he had the science mind, the mind of science. And he could see that this is the only answer to everything. So it is as if he would show that he said, never leave your standpoint of the divine mind. Look out from the divine mind, and from the divine mind you not only can read the ideas of being, but you can also read mortal mind, both. And that is the man of understanding. Yeah. All right. So, can you see the story? And I hope I have shown that actually every one of these prophets were actually touching on a fundamental human problem that each one of us has somehow to tackle. That he wasn't talking about far-off things, but problems that touch each one of us. Now, I have shown you the vertical in order to give us kind of proof that these verticals are actually running through those prophets. We could test them by looking at the horizontals and see, are the horizontals consistent? Is really the J index somehow right? So let me quickly go through the horizontal, the word, which we have tried to epitomize as the divine purpose defined. You see, you have your definition, that's word, but you have the purpose, namely that's the Christ, because it's a Christ matrix, the Christ defined. That gives you the Christ matrix at the point of the word, and you define really in those four prophets horizontally, you define the purpose of your verticals of the I index. The I index first is the monopotency of God good, you see? And Hosea defines first that purpose and says, yes, the purpose of the monopotency of God good is to bring out only good. It defines that only God can bring out something good, and therefore rejects the belief that many people have that also other things, other origin, another cause can bring forth something good. that also the human intellect and human education, morals, ethics, and so on, can bring forth something good. And he is showing, no, that's not possible. Only that which comes from God can actually have a good effect, the law of cause and effect. And so he defines the purpose of God good. When we come to Obadiah, then we would have to see that Obadiah would define the divine purpose of the vertical here, of the Christ likeness. So what is the Christ likeness? He would have to show that the Christ wants to bring forth only its own likeness, and he shows that through Obadiah. He defines it and says, yes, the Christ comes as the likeness of Christ and therefore enthrones in the place of Esau, he enthrones Jacob, the idea man. That is his purpose, to bring out in man the Jacob state and not the Esau state of consciousness. The Jacob state is the likeness, not the Esau state. Now, always take Jacob and Esau as one person. It's always the two that are quarreling within one's own soul. They are not two people. They are two opposing qualities within every one of us. When we come to Nahum, where we have the self conservation or self-preservation of the idea, then Nahum has to define the purpose of the Christ and says, yes, the purpose of the Christ is to state, just to state, to define, that's the word, that any idea can never be destroyed, that every idea is always self-preserved. Nothing can destroy it. The self-preservation is assured. The self-preservation of the idea, naturally, is assured. That's the purpose first. And when we come to Haggai, again, you can see here we would have to see how the purpose is defined in regard to operating in its principle. There you have it very clearly. It says, now, the purpose of using the Christ in your life is not to use it for yourself, but to use it to operate in its principle, to bring out the principle of being. So it is first that definition of the purpose of what's going on the top line there. Yes.